broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's
your host for Understanding the Law. It's Josh O'Neill.
The real deal, Josh O'Neill.
Hello, hello. Glad to be with you.
That's how you do a weird radio edit. Yeah, okay.
You got to Josh, you got to use your radio
voice.
Deep
radio voice. I was not prepared for that.
need to be a little deeper. Hi, this is... Okay, never mind.
I'm not trying to record an album to make people go to sleep. So,
welcome to Understanding the Law. Playing the role of Big D will be, tonight will be, the real deal, Josh O'Neill.
Thank you, thank you. Where is he?
I don't know.
Oh, they're at the thing at the Elks Lodge, yes.
What is the thing at the Elks Lodge?
They join the Elks Lodge, which is a good organization, does a lot of good charitable acts, and their orientation induction ceremony, whatever you call it, is tonight.
So that's more important than being here, understanding the law. If they only knew what topics we was going to talk about tonight.
I mean, can't they just mail them a certificate?
Yes.
So...
It's all good, though, because when I get caught up, I'll have all of the shows posted on the website, and then go click on demand and hear what they missed.
Yes.
I'm about 3 weeks behind.
You better get busy.
Been out of town, man. Been to Vegas, trying not to get shot. It's a good thing.
Yeah, that's so I assume you were successful.
I'm back, without any holes, so that's good.
Very good.
Not even any holes in my budget bank account.
How was the was security ramped up more than...
I didn't think it was, which I've been to a conference out there every year for about 7 years, I guess, and I mean, it didn't look that different to me. The only thing that I really noticed different is there was a different smell in every single junction going from point A to point B, and that there's absolutely no humidity in the desert. So I was dying when I got back to Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's it's hard. When people say, oh, it's a dry heat, the zero humidity in the air is just as hard to get used to as 90% humidity. Yeah. if you're not, you know, adapt to that climate. Well, some good topics for tonight.
Yeah, there's been some
hang on, should I find the scary music to start playing?
Yes.
We got like a week from Halloween, so
yeah. Could be. Very, very well. This is
They already told me what the topic is, everyone. So
it is somewhat scary.
It could drastically change the way things work in divorces,
big time. And you know, Josh, we talked about this earlier. We had got this memo from the judges here in Cullman, and I kind of reviewed it and thought, wow, what some changes. But I never really read it until like earlier today, and I thought, whoa, this is some major changes, and obviously a legislator got handed to them in some kind of an action, or their close family member, and they said, well, we'll teach you, mm-hmm. courts, and they sure did. And this is all about alimony and property division, nothing about the child support. It's all about alimony and child division. I mean, alimony and property division, and it is some major changes.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, child support is essentially a chart. The chart gives numbers on how much of your household income you spend if you have one kid, two kid, three kid, four kid. And the way it's figured is you take, basic formula is you take the income of the two parents had they stayed together. This is, it gives this number designated, say if your combined household income, you both make $30,000, so it's $5,000 a month. The court or the state has determined you spend $450 of that on children. Okay. Whichever one gets custody, the other parent would pay to that parent whatever their pool of that number was. So if they made 70% of the household income, then they would pay $315 or of the $5,000 or vice versa. So some judges are, and this is some interesting things that relate to this bill, is in child support, if the judge finds at his discretion that there's reasons that we don't follow that, it's not, it's somewhat mandatory, but it's not mandatory. So how does that affect the law around here is if the parties are really free to agree to what they want to, the court doesn't. There are some jurisdictions where they say it's going to follow the guide, this is, they call them the child support guidelines, and it doesn't matter. It does give them a little discretion. As Melvin was reading through this bill and looking at some of these changes, the court loses some of their ability to make these decisions. And it's more mandatory now than it used to be.
Yes, probably the easiest topic thing that they changed, there is a common, I have a common question, I'm sure Josh does in his law office almost weekly. Someone comes in and they're getting divorced and they automatically think that they're entitled to 50% of the other person's retirement plan of benefits. So I have to usually tell them, I said, no, the law says this. If when you take in consideration all of the assets that the parties have, if there's not enough assets to award one spouse to make them fair, to make them be able to survive, I guess you'd say, then the judge can take into consideration the retirement benefits. And then it says that he or she can award up to 50%. They can't award more than 50%. So you're not automatically entitled to it, but the judge can take consideration. And but there was a requirement that, and I say was because it's changed in January the 1st of this next year, that you had to be married at least 10 years, that retirement money had to be acquired in that 10 years. And it seemed like there was some other little minute, but it really wasn't that major thing. So it was just 10 years rule, and they had to acquire that money during that 10 years.
Hey, y'all just pretend for a second that I'm a caller, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So, let's say I got married and life was good for 10 or 15 years, and I traded her in for a younger model. No one ever does that, but let's just say I did. Does she still have a first wife? Does she still have access to like my Social Security benefits and that kind of stuff, or does that go entirely to my hotter younger wife?
To your now, okay. Now, one thing I missed. How long were you married?
15 years.
15 years
sounds like a nice round number.
And now so we're talking Social Security. We're not talking retirement.
This is all for entertainment purposes.
Sure, sure, sure. Yes, I have had people come in and say, suppose I was selling this synthetic marijuana they said is illegal. Let me just give you some money in case, in theory, in case this ever happens. So you were married. Now you're talking about Social Security. You're not talking about retirement from a job.
Right. Well, you can address both. I mean, we've got plenty of time.
Can the first wife obtain
yeah,
Social
I'm wondering
Security
if,
benefits?
If there's a divorce decree, obviously there has to be before I can marry the younger, hotter,
sure.
younger wife.
Sure.
Does that disavow the first wife who's become uncompatible.
From Social Security benefits?
Yeah, from Social Security, retirement, or anything else that I once had.
Now, Social Security, if you were at the age where your children qualified for survivor benefits and things, if she had the kids, they could still get some of that. If you were disabled, they could get some of that through that. But as far as straight Social Security, no, they wouldn't. She wouldn't get any of that.
Okay.
I don't think so. I've heard people say that and ask that as long as that first spouse didn't get married again, then there was a question. I don't know. That is a Social Security law. And a lot of times, probably I don't know. This new law, way it changes everything. I don't know. Sometimes we waive a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? So you say, hey, this is our agreement, this is what you get, and if it's not in this agreement, then you waive it and you give it up. So some divorce decrees may have it as a waiver, but I'm going to tell you what happens with the IRS commonly when people discuss this child support, tax deduction, stuff like that. The IRS will tell you real fast they do not care what the divorce decree says. They have rules. And you'll go by their rules and their laws. So,
wow.
Yeah. So a judge can sign a divorce decree. It says this person gets this or gets that. The IRS will say, I don't care. We have rules, and we go by that, no matter what the ruling says.
Which is to get into. And you, a great example. This happens. I know Melvin's had this happen in criminal law. If you have a defendant that has been federally indicted and he's in federal custody, judges can order inmates to move around. So if I had somebody who was in custody in Mobile, our judge, Greg Nicholas Martha Williams, could order the court down there to send them up here by a certain day. A little deeper in the Constitution, a supremacy clause that federal laws or trump state law. So you send that same order to a federal prison or a federal system, and they'll just say, no, we're not going to do that.
And there ain't nothing,
and nothing you can do about it. So that's the thing is with Social Security and the IRS and those things, they have their own rules and their interpretation of that law and under the supremacy clause is we don't have to follow state court orders because we're controlled by the federal government. So whatever rules we mandate is where the money would go.
But, Jay, you do ask a question. I want to look into that and see what the Social Security law is, because I have heard people say, and I've never had a situation to have to really study that. But I have heard people say that if they got divorced earlier, that if they were not married at the time that they reached retirement age and the other person reached retirement age, they could receive some of their benefits. I find it hard to believe.
Yeah.
But there may be some provision, or it may be in some old law, and it may be changed now.
So some background on just where this crazy idea came from. I mean, my parents are about at the age where they're starting to get Social Security benefits, and I've sat through some of their discussions on who's getting what and how much. And I mean, that's not a whimsical. I mean, it's based on the formula of what they've earned, like basically over their lives.
Sure.
So that's why I immediately wondered, well, if you divorced someone and then let's say you turn around and became a Hugh Hefner and married somebody at 60 and then start getting benefits at 62, I mean, wow, that's what a loophole, I guess.
Yeah. The second thing you mentioned about your retirement is if you had you worked for whoever and you have a 401k pension plan, those things. Would this wife be entitled to part of that? Yes, she would. Normally, the way that works in practice, how much is she entitled to? It's a really complicated formula, and most of these, as you see in the news, most pensions 401ks may be in a few different funds, and say. The Jones Fund is where Goodyear Tire sends all their people's 401k money and they invest it. When you get divorced and you were having to divide up the retirement, you would call this Jones Fund if I was handling your divorce, and I would say, here's the deal. She's going to be entitled to the retirement that was earned during the marriage. They send me a book and a form that you fill out, and they would look over it to make sure that the language was, their attorneys would help you and say, the language that needs to be in there to make sure that the money is properly distributed, and then you would present that to the circuit judge, and then they would follow it. In my experience, how much do you know exactly how much it is when you do it? No, because partially too, if it's a retirement benefit that you can't draw to this age, they get part of what you've earned during the course of the marriage. They don't get it now. You know, they could get it at retirement age, and it depends on how it's invested and what it makes. But somehow they would divide their stake and say, okay, this is how much of that it would be, if that makes sense.
I think there's probably a lot of people listening that have never even considered that. I mean, usually when they go through a divorce, they're like, I'm so done. I'm not looking back. But
sure.
Not with the new laws.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yes.
Not
anymore. And it's very... It's dividing retirement can be complicated, and you have to be, and I've had people come to me that got divorced in the 80s.
Wow.
The order wasn't correct, so the fund wouldn't pay them any money. And they were entitled to money, and they were retired, and it's like, hey, I need this. So you've got to, you know, you file to set aside these old orders or correct them and go through. And it wasn't the easiest thing to do. But as Melvin will tell you, there's been some changes too, yeah, to the way they,
this, it appears to me from reading the way it is now way it is right now is the judge can take in consideration retirement benefits, blah blah blah, whatever else, but it still has its limitation of 10 years. But now, effective January 1st, 2018, any divorce actions filed on that date or after that date, it says now that the marital estate includes that retirement benefits and stuff, and it takes out the 10 years. In there. Now then, here's the problem I see with that. I mean, if the legislature's mandate and judge, you have to consider it and you have to award it out. Yeah, you know how these things move up and down so much. I mean, if somebody's got $50,000 in retirement benefits today, don't mean they're gonna have $50,000 retirement benefits tomorrow or a week later. It may be reduced down to 30,000 or just like that. So
market could crash tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So that gets to be an issue whenever the court's saying you have to take that consideration. Well, if you're basing, all right, I'm gonna give this person this house because they have so much equity in it, and the reason I'm doing that is because this other person gets this much money. They may not get that much money, because if he says 30% of this on this date, it's going to be a real problem. But that's the retirement. Wait till we get the alimony part. We ain't got to the good stuff yet. So. I guess we're going to take us a break here, and we'll be back in a minute with the real deal, Josh O'Neill.
You're listening to Understanding the Law on Coleman's Independent Radio Station, Live 95. Be back with more in about 2 minutes.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman. I'm also the owner of Cosmic Sound DJ Entertainment, in business in Coleman for over 30 years, and we travel statewide. With a brand new system, lighting and sound, we're ready to come DJ your wedding, high school dance, corporate event, or anything that you have. It's 736-3888. Cosmic Sound DJ Entertainment, 256-736-3888. Now, back to the music.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
You're listening to Live 95. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law.
Oh, that's me, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Welcome back.
That is your cue.
Welcome back. That is my cue. I'm not used to, as many times I've been here, I was never the host. Yeah, this is Josh O'Neill back with Melvin Hastings, and if you just tuned in, we're talking about changes in distribution of assets and things in a divorce. And first thing we talked about under the current law was retirement benefits. And in the past, if you weren't married 10 years, the court really couldn't consider that and separate that. They've taken that out. Plus, they've reworded how it's done when it's divided. Now, another thing that comes up in divorces is alimony, where common situation where somebody asks for alimony, stay-at-home wife, where husband was Tiger Woods, and he's a professional golfer, and he travels the world playing in all these golf tournaments, and his wife didn't work, and so when their divorce settlement, I want to say she gets like $50,000 a month in alimony or something. Part of what alimony is supposed to do is to say, okay, if man and woman, and you have Tiger Woods who's done all this and she's devoted her life to staying home with the children, is because they divorce, her life shouldn't suffer. She shouldn't lose all the things that they've worked together to get. But there's some big changes in that.
Yes. The cases that I've read, and a lot of people come to my office and they say, well, alimony's a thing of the past. Alabama doesn't recognize alimony no more. And I'll tell them, I said, well, to an extent, you're kind of right. I said, but the law is still it's in the judge's total discretion. He can do it. It's up to him. The things you consider is the one party's needs. They need it, and the other person's ability to pay. You have to have both of them. And then the party that's receiving it has to be unmarried or not living with someone else of the opposite sex. Now, there's two different types of alimony. There's rehabilitative alimony, which is kind of or periodic alimony that you pay out for a certain period of time. The judge say, hey, for next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever else, you
help the other one get back on their feet.
Help the other one get on the feet. That's exactly what you're doing. And then there's a alimony in gross which really wasn't a good thing for the other person, because alimony in gross is you get paid a lump sum chunk of money. The problem with alimony is everybody is taxable. It is taxable income. So the guy or the girl that paid it got to use it as a tax deduction. The other one, it was income. You had to pay income taxes on it. So sometimes you'd be better off, instead of getting a lump sum. Now, if you're getting divorced from Tiger Woods, a lump sum might be all right. But otherwise, most of the time, probably periodic alimony, because the amount, you wouldn't lose so much in taxes each time as you take it. But in the older cases where it appeared that alimony was kind of getting to be a thing of the past, it always referenced you know, the changes in society, how that, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, maybe even up until the 60s, men worked, women stayed at home. And mm-hmm. then as things started happening, well, women started becoming employed, and then eventually, you know, there's a lot of women that makes a lot more money than men do and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They kind of, it appeared that alimony is kind of going out because, you know, I mean, in real life, two people has to work. I mean, it is very rare that you find somebody that sits at home and the other person works. So most time, both parties contribute to a marriage. So the judge could still do it. You know, it was at his discretion, his or her discretion.
And one reason why people would come in and say that alimony doesn't, in theory, exist anymore is because it was a rare thing for alimony to be awarded, no matter the parties. If you had two people who were both working, even if there was a $40,000-$50,000 a year income disparity difference, the chance of them getting alimony was slim, very slim. It would take exceptional circumstances for one of them to get alimony.
You know, and things have changed. Most people, probably including myself, you have a house that's mortgaged to almost what the value is and stuff. You have two parties that sign on this mortgage. All right, one of you is going to live there, and the judge will say, hey, you're going to live there. You're going to have to pay for it. Well, then the other party sometimes says, well, that's not fair. He's getting the whole house. Then you have to remind him, yes, but he is paying for it. You know what I'm saying? He's having to pay for an obligation that you're legally obligated for also. So you have to, so you may be losing it. You may be losing the house, but you're also hopefully getting rid of the payment, especially if they can get it refinanced. There is a benefit to it. So, and like I said, most of the time there's not that much equity. Now then, if you've been married 25, 30 years, then there is a more of a chance you're going to probably get some alimony. There's more of a chance a house, there's going to be some equity division in the house, and somebody's going to have to borrow some money or come up with a chunk of money, or you get all the vehicles or something. There was a lot of leeway for the judge to make a decision. What is fair in dissolving this marriage, and how am I going to distribute these people's assets? But now the new law, which goes in effect, if you file a divorce January the 1st, 2018, any after that, the new law says, upon granting a divorce or legal separation, the court shall award either rehabilitative or periodic alimony if the court finds all the following, and it gets a list down there. So where the old law says, upon granting divorce, the court shall have the right to, which left it in their discretion, this new law says, hey, if you meet these factors, the court has to do it. So the old, Jay, to answer your question a minute ago, the old, you get divorced and you think everything's over with, is fixing to change. It is going to be something that's out there. Not only if the judge, if they don't award it now, I think this new law says the court has to reserve it in some instances.
And I remember the first impactful lecture from law school, and it was on our syllabus, and I didn't know at the time the importance of that I do now. It was said, the difference in may and shall, what that means is if a statute, if you ever read a statute and it says the court may, really what that means is, if the court wants to, it can. It could find all those factors and just say, I'm not going to do that just because I don't want to. Shall means it has to. It has to. I always think of the Landlord-Tenant Act, where if you're a landlord and you don't follow the procedures and you evict a tenant wrongfully, and the court finds that they were wrongfully evicted, even for a day, even if they're behind $5,000 in their rent, it says they shall award the party reasonable attorney's fees. Court has no choice but to. No matter any other factor, you would still have to get attorney's fees. Okay, how does that relate to this? It says shall. It means if the court finds these things, it must.
Yes. And here's another thing. This is what I think is really crazy about the law. It says, in a case where one party is proven a lack of ability to preserve their economic status quo. So essentially, let's just go with the man and the woman. The man makes more money, the woman does it. Let's just say, and they're getting divorced. And the woman proves that, hey, I can't, with the money I make, I can't maintain the same lifestyle that I had while I was married to this guy. All right? And if this guy proves to the court, or it says if there exists his inability to pay right now to do that, listen to this. It says the court shall reserve jurisdiction to award rehabilitative or periodic alimony. So that means even if you can't do it now in your current situation and the other person needs it, then the court has no discretion. They shall reserve it, and that other person can come back and request it later on in life.
So this leads to two things. Is to me, the first things I think when it says if they show that they're have them, however they worded this, I can't live like I did when we were married. Well, logically speaking, nobody can buy with one income what you can buy with two incomes. It's just not possible. But secondly, what this means is, let's say you were in med school or law school and you're doing your surgery residency and you think, I make $50,000 a year and I have all this debt, and you get divorced, and then 12 years later you're announced as the chief surgeon at Huntsville Hospital and you're going to be making $1 million a year. Here she comes.
Then the other spouse can come back and request, because it's been reserved. I don't know. I'm sure this law does not, because I've read through it. I don't see anything that says after a certain period of time you lose jurisdiction. Mm-mm. It just says it retains jurisdiction. You would think someone down there would say, you know what? At some point, you got to call this off. You can't You can't allow this to do it, just to let it keep on hanging. You can't. And here's the deal. In divorce cases, there's two things. If you have children, you have what between the parties, and then you have child support. Now, obviously, child support is something that should always go on until a child reaches age 19. You have an obligation to support your child, period, 100%, no doubt. But here, it's almost as the court saying you have an obligation to support your spouse now, or ex-spouse.
Indefinitely.
And listen to this. This is even crazier. This says that if the judge awards periodic alimony, a person shall be eligible for periodic alimony for a period not to exceed the length of the marriage. So periodic alimony used to be limited to like 5 years. I think it was something like that. Now they're saying that, hey, if you've been married 20 or 25 years, then you can get periodic alimony for that amount, which any of this can be modified any other time. This also says if a party's been married for 20 years or longer, there shall be no time limit as to his or her eligibility. So I guess the moral of the story is, all you bachelors and bachelorettes, if you're going to make some money, you better be careful about who you're getting married to. Because it is a lifelong, absolutely a lifelong commitment. If you can't live with each other and you're successful now, and y'all part ways, either one of you can be successful, y'all part ways, then you're not, you may be parted at the hip, but you ain't parted at the pocketbook, because you're going to be paying some money, or subject to be paying some money.
And what the two things this leads to, if you're listening, if you've been married for 8 years and you're on the fence about leaving and you're pretty sure it's not going to last, leave now. Now, pack your stuff, go. Right after Christmas dinner, make sure you got your stuff packed and say, I'm going to see Josh or Melvin in the morning. I am out.
Yes, because what we find out is, a lot of times when new laws are passed like this, a lot of lawyers that keeps up with the law like to throw it out there and push it, but sometimes judges love to issue rulings on these new laws. I guess they feel like they're kind of obligated. So they may really, really search into this type of stuff. And I'm not saying there are plenty of situations where people's entitled to it. 100%. I know that. And one of these, they do list the factors that the judge has considered in it. And one of them is fault of the termination of the marriage. And that should be the biggest thing. If one spouse marries the other one, and it's that spouse's fault that this marriage is terminated, really, should that spouse be rewarded by being able to torment that other one for the rest of his life or her life and getting money? I mean, to me, that kind of surprise. I mean, what is the benefit of going out, starting over, getting a new life, having a new career, making more money whenever you still have someone in the past that you have absolutely no legal obligation to, no moral obligation to, because it's not your child, that you still have to deal with, that's always lurking there, that can bring up a divorce again.
Well, I've heard stories, and I'm sure y'all have too, because y'all do this for a living. I'm just a talk show guy behind the microphone, no professional credentials whatsoever. But you go through a divorce, and he was making a pretty good income. She wanted the child support, so all of a sudden, although he could make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, let's say, as an IT developer, instead he decides he's going to work at Taco Bell.
Yes.
And to that point, if you read the statute, it doesn't say what you make. It says what you're capable of making.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And that's voluntary under employment, and they can consider that in child support. Now then, somebody is going to raise that issue with alimony at some point, and the Supreme Court or the Court of Civil Appeals will probably say, you know what? If it applies to child support, it applies to spousal support too. So they could probably look, are you underemployed? Here's the deal. I don't like this because you're never finished. You're never finished.
Yeah.
So if you get married, you just might as well stay married. and if you can't get along, you fight and cuss and hit and whatever else. Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting question. Can you override that with the prenup?
Yes. Well, yeah. Before you could.
Yeah, I would think that you could. I would think you could. You just have to have one drafted very well. But to set aside a prenuptial agreement, because
how many people are Googling prenup?
Right, a lot.
And here's a point you think about a prenup. Before, if it said before you divorce, you don't get any alimony, you may want to go back and recraft those. It says, and you can't come back later.
Exactly.
Because what if you say, I waive it now? Does that mean you waive it now or waive it forever? Because under the old law, now was forever in theory.
Yes.
So,
and my other question is, all right, if you flip that around from what you would normally think in terms of a divorce and alimony, let's say that she went out and became a very successful attorney and you decided to work at Taco Bell, could he get alimony from her?
This says that
should go both ways, right?
Yeah, it should.
It says, listen to this, here's the answer to the question. An order awarding rehabilitative or periodic alimony may be modified based upon application and a showing of material change in circumstances. So I think the answer to your question is that would be a material change in circumstances. And that she no longer needs it, but guess what? Now I need it.
Yeah.
And you should be able to modify it. And that is going to happen somewhere. Some judge is going to award it, and then it's going to be taken to Court of Civil Appeals, and we'll see what they do. Hopefully, they're just going to throw this law out and say it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Before we all take a minute or two and a half to reflect, how long till all this gets overturned?
The answer to that is how this law applies. That's what the Supreme Court of Alabama will decide, and who knows what they'll do with it.
This law don't go into effect till January the 1st, so it'll have to be a divorce after that. Time you get through the process, it'll be the following year, 2019.
Probably be 2019 before we ever see a decision handed down about all this.
Wow. All right, y'all. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. You're listening to Understanding the Law on Coleman's Community Radio. Yes. By golly, we're trying to help y'all. We'll be back in a minute. Yes.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right?
Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law.
That's going to be Jay Fuller and Joshua Neal.
Yeah.
And all of us. So.
Yes, yes.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Back again.
Discussing the whole prenup concept. So the prenup can override what the court must do?
Yes, as long as... The way you get a prenuptial agreement is a binding contract between two people. As long as it is valid, as long as you're not induced into it, you have the ability to do it, to sign it. We'll talk about that in a second. The capacity to sign it, and it's not induced by fraud or duress or whatever else. So, for instance.
And you disclose everything you
have. You disclose everything. That's the key. So the capacity to do it, you know, you can't sign a legal document till you're 19. So if you sign one with the 18, then it's probably, you know, it's out because you don't have the capacity. You don't have the legal capacity to do it. If you're mentally incapacitated when you sign it, you don't, you know, you had a stroke or you dementia or whatever else, then it's out. But the other one, the big one, like Josh says, you know, as far as the fraud, you disclose everything. For instance, we go back to Tiger Woods. If Tiger Woods, if he told his ex-wife, hey, I only have $100,000 and that's all I make a year, and she signed his prenup, and then comes to find out he's making $100 million.
Yeah.
Then, of course, she was frauded into it. He wasn't truthful about it, so the court can set aside that prenuptial agreement. But otherwise, yes, when you sign one, it is valid. I'm going to tell you, we will have, when people learn of this stuff, there will be a run on prenups.
Yes, yes.
And
an interesting point about some of these. This is one interesting thing that two things that I got from reading.
I hate to jump in here again, but I just had another sickening thought. So,
sickening.
Prenup is before marriage, right? So, if you're already married,
you can sign postnuptial agreements in contemplation of divorce. But if you've got somebody, you know, behind the eight ball, why? If you know you're going to get divorced and you've consulted with a lawyer,
if you know about the change in the law, and you don't.
Yeah, I mean, or if your husband or wife that makes all the money says I'm going to leave you, and you go talk to a lawyer, they say, well, I'll stay if you'll sign this post-nuptial agreement. Well, my God, why? Mm. I see people do it sometimes. It's rare because what's the point?
All right, I'll shut up and let you finish your show.
But there are two things that were very interesting to me. Is one of the things it considers in alimony that wasn't really considered for alimony before was if you have special needs children. What if your career has impacted your ability to earn money and you just have to have more money for the kids? Because there was no, you know, under the old child support law, there was no provision that says, okay, if your kid is normal functioning, they're this, but if they're low functioning, have to have this, then you got to pay this extra. If you had custody of a special needs kid and you only got $280 a month. You only got $280 a month. Now the law says that the judge could award it on that basis to say this is going to cost you more because you're going to have to do these other things. And that's fair. That's probably fair. Another one that's interesting is alimony. Excuse me. In the past, if you got alimony, you got it awarded at the end of a case.
Period.
That was when it was done. When the judge entered his final order or there was a settlement agreement, alimony was entered then. Now, how would that affect people? Okay, you have husband and wife or husband has a job, makes $200,000 a year. They've been married for 16 years, and wife or husband has never worked. And they're very domesticated. They don't, you know, they don't even have their own bank account. Everything's in the other one's name. They just use what they have to. They don't really have any money of their own. Well, and then as Melvin will explain, it goes into what happens if they do.
Yes. Typically, like now, and Josh, we've worked on cases where we have opposing clients and probably maybe even worked on some where we had clients in common on some things, but typically what they do now is, I mean, there may be a case or two where a judge awards some type of an alimony, I guess you could list as alimony payment while divorce is going on, but most time they're just designating bills. This, you know, the husband take care of the house payment, wife take care of the car payments, so you pay so much of the credit card bills, type of day. That's how they kind of designate it, and that was it. So really, excuse me, what the judges did was take consideration what the bills and liabilities of the parties were, and designated who was going to pay those until the divorce decree was finally signed. Now, this new law allows for interim alimony. I guess the good thing about it says may. It don't say shall. It does say may on everything. Says may. The something that's kind of eye catching about it. It says an award of this interim alimony may be made retroactive to the date of the filing of the complaint. So you file a divorce action in February. And you wait to October, November, whatever else, for whatever reason, gets into court, and the judge decides, hey, this one spouse is entitled to interim alimony, and I'm going to give her $500 a month. Well, guess what? That same judge can also say, by the way, that started back in February when you filed the divorce complaint, so now you're already 6 months behind. You owe them $3,000. In interim alimony, plus you have to pay $500 a month. So that's kind of, because typically, the judges would rule, hey, if they're going to order some kind of payments of bills or stuff like that, they say from this point on, next month, whatever else, you start doing this. This allows it to go back. But here is, and I see it both ways, this is probably fair. It puts them on equal ground, and Josh knows this just as good as I do. There are times where one spouse seems to be in control, and that's the spouse that has access to the bank accounts, the spouse that makes the money, the spouse that goes out and spends the money, and gets one over on you that you, because you, maybe his or her family has got a lot of money they're throwing in there to help them to be able to hire whatever they need to do to experts or whatever the expenses are. And sometimes that person comes out on top. The new law says that the court may award out of the marital property or current income reasonable interim fees, cost, and litigation expenses, including discovery, expert witnesses, guardian ad litem, special masters, and attorney fees, to enable each party to have equitable access to the marital property to pursue or defend the action. So now a judge can order the other spouse. So me and Josh got exposing clients. He's got the husband, I got the wife. Let's say that's who we represent. And let's say that the husband's got all the money, his family's got money, helping him pay his bill and everything else, and the wife feels like, hey, this ain't fair, I'm not getting done right on this, I don't have family to help me pay for this thing. And that happens. A lot of times we get the poor clients. Now, beginning in January 1st, 2018, the judge can order the other client, the husband in this situation, out of his income, take consideration of it, or his marital property assets, whatever else, can make that. And I guess that marital property would probably be considered retirement benefits.
Yes,
because that's what this, like, that stuff says. He can order that other person pay. He can order the husband to pay so much money to the wife so that she can pay for attorney fees, costs, litigation expenses, and everything else during the divorce.
You will run into situations. I have a case now, for example. 2 years ago, the wife was diagnosed with MS. She draws disability now. They were living together. He was some sort of instructor that he taught industrial safety and different things. And he made, last year on his taxes, he made like $90,000. Their house is almost paid for. He leaves. He says, I'm out. I'm not giving you a dime. Okay. Thankfully, she had some family that could help her. But even if she came to me and said, and I said, I'll only charge you the bare minimum of your expenses and I'll take no fee whatsoever, she still couldn't have afforded to get divorced.
Yeah.
Under this law, it will allow them to, those facts come up more than not, or not more than not, but that's not an uncommon occurrence, that now she would be able to go to court and say, okay, I cannot afford this.
I need some money, Judge.
I need some money now.
Yes.
He locked me out of everything.
And the judge can award it. So when you base it on that, that is probably the most fair thing they've done out of all of this law. I mean, they made it a lot more fair. But again, when the legislature puts stuff in here and laws like this, sometimes courts run with it. They go overboard with it. I guess a judge could say, you know what, husband, you're going to pay for your lawyer, but you're also going to pay for her lawyer too.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess depending on how they word it here, how an order is worded by a judge and someone takes it up on appeal, if the Supreme Court looks at that, they may say, no, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? They may throw the whole law out. And this, like I said, it appears for me some legislator got done wrong, and he says, I'm going to show you. He or she says, I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. And they did. They wrote up a law that's just takes a lot.
Interesting about that, though, is I know this issue comes up sometimes in appeal. You get a temporary order that says you got to pay this. You send it up. What if they say it's a temporary order? It's not a final order. It can't be taken up on appeal. It may have created a unappealable loophole.
Yeah.
And that's the one interesting thing that comes out of some of these bills and laws is we discuss, say, the divorce have to be filed after the first of next year. And then in 2019 is probably when, you know, the divorce runs its course through the course of next year. And then it goes up to appeal. We'd start seeing some decisions. They may strike down parts of the law. They may say, this is really what this means. They are free to interpret it how they want. One thing I always think of is a couple of years ago, the it seemed like the legislature's things was the courts, that we're going to save money in the court systems. We're going to stop paying indigent people for lawyers. We're going to stop paying indigent expenses, and we're going to limit how long kids are in foster care because it costs the state too much money for DHR. And they passed a bill that just said flat out, if the kid's in foster care for a year, you've got to have a termination hearing and terminate their parental rights. Just a blanket year. If you read the decisions that came down from the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals in the next year, almost every one of them that went up, or not every one of them, but a large majority of them got reversed. Why? You could tell they didn't like just saying blanket year with no other look at any other circumstances. So they would say, well, really when you're doing this, though, even if the year's there, that's not what this means. So in 2019, as the decisions start to come down, you may see things start spinning in ways that they say this is what this part of it means and this is what this part of it means. And up until now, it's anybody's guess because there's no interpretation.
I tease people that's going to be probably more sick about this than we are is the judges.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to if you're sitting in a judge on a case, I mean, you got a lot of stuff to – it's almost like they're going to have a checklist and go down and check everything off and make sure they did it, because it has – the whole deal with divorces, as I've told people before, that there's two types of law. There's like statutory law, and then there's this other case law. There's a court of equity, a court of law, and divorce fell under that court of equity, which means that a judge has the discretion, and he or she does what's fair in determining and listen to these people's cases. They do what's fair. Now, there is some law they have to follow, but it's not that much. It's not,
yeah,
they have to follow the law strictly. They have discretion. And it appears that the legislature says, all right, we're going to take that discretion away from y'all. We're going to start having law on divorces, and this is the way you're going to do it. So it's going to kind of make it a nightmare for a little while, but I guess like everything else, we'll adjust to it and move on. But
and saying it's at their discretion is the standard says is the judge hears the facts. It's at his discretion. He's the best person to apply the facts and what he's heard. What I always tell people is if we lose at trial and you say I want to appeal it just on what the judge decided, your chance to win it is next to zero.
Yes.
They never come back.
I never thought being a judge would be an easy job. And I mean, y'all just described how, I mean, it's so much easier to be a disc jockey and pick a song that sums up your whole show. So.
It is. And, you know, these, I guess out goes the old, the judge say, just sell everything and divide it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Them days are gone.
Them days may be gone now. Well, thank you, Mr. J, and thank you, Mr. Josh. I appreciate
you
coming
in. Always a pleasure.
I'd love to say it's been a fun show, but I think it's been an eye-opening show.
Yeah, it's parting words, divorce now. Leave now. Start packing. If it's not going to make it, leave.
Thank you, Mr. J.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. She said, it grieves me so to see you in such pain. I wish there was something I could do to make you smile again. I said, I appreciate that. And would you please explain about the 50 ways? She said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight? And I believe in the morning you begin to see the light. And then she kissed me, and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just beat yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and get yourself free.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.